Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
The Opinion Line on Cork's 96 FM.
I remember the search for this chap, and I remember people were getting increasingly worried about him, that he hadn't been seen, and that he was known from being around the streets of Cork, and he was helped by some of those wonderful groups that help the homeless. And I remember reading in the early days of him being missing that he was had a fondness for hot chocolate. That was just one of those things that people pointed out. Now, I read his story in the Examiner the weekend. Sarah Horgan wrote about Cian Murtagh, who is now safe and well and renovating a new house. I think it's in County Sligo. Cian, delighted to know that all is well. Good morning.
Oh, good morning.
Good morning to you.
You know yourself, it was a mad few months, but sure. Nah, it's been completely insane few months, but sure, it's all been positive.
Good, good, and we'll get to that. You're in Sligo because the lovely people of Kilbeheny managed to get together and buy you a house.
Yeah, it was nuts. Like, when I was first found, I sort of, you know, they broached the idea of it, and I was like, sure, yeah, go ahead for the GoFundMe. But, you know, I have thought to myself, you know, life isn't an American film, you know, but sure, you know, they're nice people, let them give it a go, and sure, it worked.
Yeah.
Absolutely nuts.
Yeah, you don't believe, like, that life is like Netflix, that everything works out for good, but in your case it did. So, let's go back a few years. You're 30 years of age, you're originally from County Meath, you grew up in Care. You've been homeless pretty much since you aged out of Care, have you, Cian?
Pretty much on and off, yeah. I went to college for a bit, and then, I didn't complete the degree I was doing, and then since then, just on and off, honestly.
Yeah, but you aged out, you know where to go after aging out, no?
Yeah, it's usually the way, you know, especially in nowadays, you know, like, people might have to stay in their parents much longer nowadays than compared to, say, the 90s.
Yeah.
In order to save up a bit of cash to have a nest egg to fly out and, you know, go into the world.
Yeah.
From Care, you do have aftercare support, but that's essentially just full whack of the dole straight away.
Yeah.
And maybe grants to go to college, and then you're sort of left to fend for yourself, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I think we forget, Cian, and I just pause on it for a second. I think we forget that there are lots of people like you who age out of care at 18, and there's little or nothing there for them. There is a service, like you said, but it's not great. And they fall,
you know yourself, it's very
hard off
to
the cliff.
It's very hard to replace, you know, like an organic sort of development, you know.
Yeah. You got into construction and you were working full time but still homeless. Was that because of the cost of accommodation?
See, it's one of those things where once you're homeless, it's practically impossible to get out of it. Because all the sort of ancillary things you need during the day, such as, you know, having a shower or storing your belongings, you can't do that.
Yeah.
There are services, but they're usually, you know, during the day. So you're looking at, you know, there might be different charities you can go in out the rain and, you know, have a shower and all that. But if you're working, you know, 9 to 5, I was 7:30 to 4:30. Like,
yeah.
And most of the time, like, you've no hope of meeting or reaching those places.
Yeah.
So,
Because by the time you've got your day's work done, they're all closed.
Yeah, so, like, you know, you can imagine yourself when there's 1,000 people viewing an apartment that's ridiculously overpriced. Are you really going to pick the lad who's carrying a load of gear on him, filthy from work? Like, you know, like, I used to have to carry my sleeping bag, my bag with me change of clothes, you know, my work clothes.
Yeah. And you know, we're always told by these housing authorities, I'm talking about the Dublin at the time now, and indeed we hear the same here in Cork, Cian. Everyone that you ever hear from any one of these housing authorities, or there's a bed there for anybody who wants one. Was there ever one there for you?
They do have hostels, but they tend to be way more dangerous in the streets. Like.
Why? How come? No, there's a thing. There's a question to stop on. How could sleeping on the platform of a Lewis station, which you did, how could that be more less dangerous than sleeping in a hostel with a roof over your head and a warm bed?
I got attacked in a couple of them, but it just generally seems to be the case where, you know, there's no sort of, everyone has their own issues when they're homeless, like, you know.
Yeah.
Like, I aged out of care, someone might have an addiction, someone might have, you know, sort of a rambunctious youth that ended them up in prison and they're looking to start out again, and, you know, you'd all be sent into the same room, and unfortunately some people are lashing out at the world and you might be a target. So
the mix of people was the problem.
Yeah, there's, you know, you think to yourself, you know, they might say, right, this lad's working, we'll put him in a room with people who are working. This lad's struggling with addiction, we'll put him in a room with people who are further along in the path of fighting the addiction, etc. You know, you think you'd have some form of system like that, but no.
Right.
It was just too dangerous.
Now, eventually you packed in Dublin. You thought you might have some chance coming down to Cork, be working in construction. You never had a problem finding work. Did you find work down here?
I was offered work, but unfortunately when I came to Cork, I was at the point where I've been at this years, like I'm 30 now.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, at that stage, you know, I was starting to lose my hair, I was going bald, you know, I was starting to feel and see signs of aging. And then, of course, if I look across the past decade, like, you know, very little progress I had in life in general.
Yeah.
Just made me think that what's going to happen is I will get work and I'll do the exact same thing I did in Dublin, where I'll just go to work each day, struggle to try build the foundational steps.
Yes.
And, you know, constantly struggle for either food, water or shelter. And that stage I had enough. So I said, no, I'm not doing it anymore.
Yeah, you brought up those three things there now, food, water and shelter. I've talked to a few people like you, Cian, over the years, and what they've said is food, water, shelter, three things we all need. When you're homeless, you might get two of them. You'll never get the three together. Was that the case for you?
Yeah. I mean, there's no consistency at all or stability. Like, you have, you know, there's good and bad in the world, but you just get the extremes of it when you're on the streets. Like,
yeah.
So, you know, without shelter, you know, someone might come up and give you a sandwich. Someone might come up and say, oh, yeah, right, do you want a hot chocolate or, you know, a cup of tea or something like that?
Mm.
And you're like, sure, yeah. And then someone might come up and be like, oh, do you have any cash in you? And, you know, go straight to attacking you, especially in the early hours of the morning.
Yeah.
Now, Cork was sound. Like, I had no trouble in Cork. You know, everyone sort of half looked out for each other on the streets. It was quite nice.
Where did you sleep?
Oh, do you know... what was the pub called? It was a fancy kind of pub, and then there was a small kind of glass pizza house thing beside a World War One memorial.
The electric, down by electric.
The electric, and then I was on a bench just facing the river.
Down there.
You'd notice it because half the bench is like deteriorating from rot.
Yeah, I know where you are now. Yeah, and.
Yeah.
At what point, Cian, this sounds like very blood, at what point did you say, I'm going to stop eating? Was that a decision to starve yourself to death, or what was it?
It was more of a seeking divine inspiration. It was, I didn't go at it with the intention of dying. I went at it with the intention of disengaging with a system that forced me to constantly struggle between the three things, food, water and shelter. Right. I said, I'm not going to accept any of them until I get all three consistently. Okay. And I eventually, you know, just 3 months later, I saw no path to it. Like, I didn't eat for 3 months. I got very skeletal, very weak.
Yeah.
And I knew if I stayed in Cork, if I stayed on my bench, because I had made friends, you know, there's a lot of lovely people there. Mm. If I go, because when you're starving to death, you eventually go unconscious and then you die.
Yeah.
So I said, if I do that on the bench in Cork, you know, a concerned citizen's going to look at us. They're going to bring an ambulance, yeah. Send us off to hospital. I'll get patched up and then sent straight back out to do it all over again. So I was like, nah, I can't do this anymore.
Because I was asking myself that question, like, why would you just stop eating? Because, to be fair to all the different volunteer groups, the penny dinners, all the various groups, like, one thing you won't go on the streets is hungry. You'll get plenty to eat.
But the thing is, you know, I could, yeah, but, I mean, for years, waking up fully soaked or, you know, from the rain or for, you know, half reason, just pottering around, living a half life, and all around you, people are living sort of, you know, the rest of the world starts to look very alien to you, you know?
Yes.
So, I just couldn't do it anymore, not after, you know, hitting 30, starting to go bald, you know? Goals in life were always house, job, wife. I've made no progress towards any of them.
Your story, I was thinking, why would you stop eating? But in the sound of your voice, what I'm hearing is your answer, your unspoken answer, try living this way. Isn't that right?
I could eat and I could sleep on that bench and I could still be on that bench. I could be healthy enough, you know, weight-wise, and I'd live to me 50s or 60s and, more likely late 40s. But
if you were lucky, pal.
Yeah, and, you know, that's not accounting, you know, I might have a particularly aggro person, like I've been stabbed and all sorts of crack in the street, but it's just not a life. It's just, you need a bit of quality of living, you know, you don't want to live just for the sake of it. So I said, if it's going to be unending, and, you know, basically boredom with, you know, bouts of torture, I'd rather just skip it. So no food, water, shelter until I saw a path. Eventually I didn't see a path, so I wandered off to the mountains.
You headed off to the mountains because you could go off into the Gaelic, I'm going to put words in your mouth maybe, but if not, you would often think they'd go off into the Gaelic mountains and find a nice quiet place to die.
Pretty much, yeah, because I was thinking to myself, you know, I don't want to get sent off to hospital, patched back up, you know, feck knows what they do with someone who doesn't want to eat or drink at that stage. But, you know, I didn't want any of the drama of it, you know. Yeah. I just wanted to find a quiet space and, you know, just let go in a way.
Whatever about not eating, if you stop drinking, you'll be dead in a week. Did you actually had you actually stopped drinking by the time that the Maeve found you on the side of the road or met you on the side of the road? Had you stopped drinking that stage?
Well, the last drink I would have had was when I was walking towards the Gaelic Mountains.
Yeah.
So I had a can of, Lucozade I got with the last me cash.
Okay.
In one of the small villages on the way.
Yeah.
And then once I got to the mountains, just stopped drinking because I wanted to speed it up a bit because at that stage, you know, like I could barely move. I got very skeletal, like.
Yes.
So,
Imagine walking was tough.
I see, this is going to sound very, very strange when I say this, but, it was weird when I was not eating and drinking because I felt like I was on the right path in a way.
Yeah.
So, you know, sort of all the other aches and pains and issues were sort of gone because, you know, I was sort of, you know, I felt as though I did everything I could and I was sort of at peace.
Right. So you had decided, Cian, I have days to live and that's it.
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, I just said to myself, you know, I've done everything I could. I mean, did well more than I should have, you know.
Yeah, more than anyone should have to, yeah.
So I just said to myself, here, it's done, I tried. There's no point bashing my head against the wall repeatedly, like.
So then, to move it on, you met Maeve. She pulled up alongside you.
It was completely unexpected, because, you know, I wandered the country one of the early years when I was homeless just for things to do. So I climbed all the mountains and, you know, I went to all the sort of spot, especially during COVID because no one was around. So I was able to have the run of the place, really. And never once did anyone, well, there were a few times, but it would be after about 6-7 hours of me actively tumbling to get a lift. So when I was heading towards the mountains, I didn't bother. But, you know, so shocked when they pulled in. In fact, I even gave it a half joke. I was like, Jez, are you not worried I'm one of them second American 80s serial killers or something like that? And she sort of, you know, half looked nervously and, you know, was like, I'm not, though. I'm just, you know, I'm just throwing it out there. I'm messing. But, I know, she's a lovely woman. We had a good chat.
Yeah.
I think towards the end, she offered to drive me up to the Galties. Mm. I was like, ah, cheers. And I was chatting away to her. And then I think she sort of, well, she asked me straight out, any chance you're homeless, like?
Yeah.
And I go, ah, nah, here, you know, I'm not, you know. I have options and, you know. Because I did, as you said, I could sit in a bench and I could eat food and, you know, all that crack. And sure, that's an option.
Yes.
Just wasn't one I was willing to take, you know.
Yes, and you didn't discuss the other one with her there and then. But then she heard on the radio or read in the paper or something that there was this missing chap, and what she picked up on your hot chocolate thing.
I have no idea where that came from, because I had you know, 3 months of utter starvation is very dull.
Yeah.
So I used to treat myself a lot of the soup runs, such as the one.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Run by Jade and a few of the other ones would have hot chocolates in the evening as part of their offering.
Yes.
So I used to treat myself to a free tea in the mornings at Penny's dinners.
Yes.
And then I used to grab a hot chocolate at night, and funnily enough, it was one of the main things that kept my day, you know, a bit exciting, because I'd be spending the day looking forward to the hot chocolate.
Crikey, yeah.
So, no, it was mad, sure, you know.
She heard about it and she made a flask of it. When she found you, you initially didn't want to know, is that right?
No, I was trying to, you know, because think about it in a way, like, you're working on a project for 3 months and then you've come to the conclusion, you know, I literally say a day or two more and I would have been gone because there was a
project. I'm going to stop you there for 1 second, Cian, because I need to take a commercial break, if you don't mind. I'm going to pause at that point. You're working on a project for 3 months. Stay there for me, my friend. Put you back onto the lads for a second. I'm talking to Cian Morta, whose story is remarkable. I'm going to take a break and come back to it. He'd set upon a project. He was so sick of living on the streets and not having the three simple things, water, food and shelter. He couldn't get them together. So he decided, while he was living on a bench down by the electric, he decided to effectively starve himself to death. A project. Walked out into the mountains, with a view to dying there, and then his life turned around through hot chocolate. We'll take the story up after the break. Talking to Cian Morta, and we had brought the story to the point, Cian, where there you are in the woods with days left in you, and Maeve arrives with a flask of hot chocolate. Initially, you refused. Did you? You wouldn't take it from her.
You know yourself, like, during the 3 months, I was sort of assessing all the time. I was thinking, because, you know, your body automatically, when you're lacking a need, thinks of it. Your brain automatically pops it into your brain, or pops it into your mind all the time. So the whole time I was dreaming of burritos, I was thinking of food and all that. But I always had the rational part of my brain over the instinct, debating to myself why I started this and what I expect for it to end. And in a way, it was like a project. I was constantly assessing what was worth it. Yes. Was it worth it to eat? Was it worth it at that stage to drink? Because I stopped drinking when I hit the mountains.
Yes.
And second, I just, I found it very hard to, because I was half thinking, this is not the case at all, but I was half thinking, you know, I'll get sent to hospital, I'll get patched up, and then, you know, back on the streets again. And
that was a fear, wasn't it, Cian, that a hospital, you'd be sent to hospital, you'd get a bit of nourishment, you'd get patched up and be back out, and it would all start over again. So your plan was to go into the woods where nobody would find you until it was too late, and you'd be found by the famous man out walking his dog some morning.
Pretty much, yeah. And then I wouldn't have to, you know, deal with the nonsense that is, you know, what I was forced to live, you know.
Yeah. Just before we get on to what happened then, like, are there any loved ones in your life, Cian, or are you alone in the world? Were you alone in the world at that point?
See, like anyone else, you know, people came and went throughout my life. You know, I was awarded the state, so much more often it's more of a revolving door with people, you know.
Yes.
And one of the fundamental aspects of care that isn't really discussed is you're uprooted entirely for your situation. Whatever it was, whether it's good, bad, or indifferent, or the people around you were good, bad, or indifferent, and put into another one. And anyone who's been in care years will be moved more than once, maybe twice, maybe three. You know, that's changing schools, that's changing your living address, who you're living with, the whole lot.
Yeah.
And if you're in residential care, I mean, it's a revolving door with staff as well. You'll have agency staff come in, you'll have you'll have a new social worker every couple of months.
Yeah.
So in the end,
you don't form too many bonds, no?
There's no real consistency or stability. So I do have, you know, I do have people who I've known for a good few years who I get on with, like.
Mm.
But at the end of the day, you know, your life is your day-to-day. I mean, it's not your past or your future, it's your present.
Mm.
And the present that I was dealing with each day and each day and each day for years, just, you know, it just, the balance sheet didn't add up, you know?
Yeah. So, there's a lot to think about in there and a lot for people to unpick in their thoughts in that one. So, eventually, Maeve persuaded you to take the hot chocolate, and she persuaded you to get some help. How did she do that?
Oh, she had a very good trick, where she had the hot chocolate open and under me nose as she was chatting to me. No, to be fair, she was a lovely woman, and I came across straight away, you know? Plus I was, no, there was also the aspect where, you know, I sort of knew I was caught and I couldn't move at that stage at all. I literally had to be, you know, hoisted out by Maeve and another chap, Joe, who's dead sound.
You were literally, you were almost gone.
Oh, yeah, like, easily. I'm surprised I even last that long because, you know, 3 months no eating and then however long I was in the woods, no drinking. Right. And then, as soon as, you know, I was taken away, I think it was the very next night or the night after, we had that massive burst of frost.
Yes.
I don't know, in a way, because, you know, at the start of it, you know, when I just said, feck this, because, you know, I'm not eating again till I get divine inspiration. In a way, I do half wonder, someone randomly pulling over for you, you know, chatting away to you, dropping you off to where you need to go and then finding you. Is that a bit, in its way, divine inspiration?
Who knows, eh?
Who knows?
So, you spent 2 weeks in hospital and you got stabilised.
20 days.
20 days, okay. 3 weeks then. The bones of it. And then they had set up, the Kilbehenny people, Limerick it says, but did you know, for example, that there's a corner of Kilbehenny, there's literally the corner of a field where you can put a foot in both counties and your arm in a third. So we'll claim it as well. It's true.
Sure, there's multiple Charlevilles as well. There's a Charleville in Cork, and there's a Charleville that may be Clare, or maybe Offaly, or maybe Cavan.
Yeah. No, there's a field in Kilbehenny where if you stand in the corner of the field and put your left foot there and your right foot there and your arm in front of you, you can be in three counties. It's just a thing. Anyway, so they got together in the community centre. They set up a GoFundMe. They raised something like 40,000, and they bought this place in Sligo, which is where you are now, with birds singing around you, I notice.
I'm not in the place yet at the moment. It still doesn't have power. I'm kind of in a B&B at the moment, just waiting for it.
Okay.
But, you know, that takes, you know, a good while, you know, contacting ESV and waiting for them to come out.
Yes.
But,
what kind of nick is it in?
It seems to be, well, the last inhabitant of it who was there long term was, I think he was in it from the 1920s, I was told.
Okay.
And he died in his 90s, so fair play to him, in the 2010s. So it's a very, very old sort of, you know, it's in a rough enough state, but it's workable.
Well, you know what, with a lifetime spent in construction, you have skills and hopefully you have tools and you can do an awful lot for yourself once you do get in there.
Yeah, sure. Once you get a bit of power into the place, you know, there's nothing in it. It needs, you know, one of the floors is dug out, and I can, you know, it's a small enough place, though, so it should be quick enough to patch up the sides, any holes in the walls, and once the power is in, I'll be able to use tools, you know.
Yes.
Hopefully be able to get tools. And
yes.
Yeah, I don't know. It's all very positive, yeah. But now, just going back to what you were saying there about the Kilbehenny community, I want to throw in that one thing that really made me take a shine to them was that it was nice because, you know, I was very bitter about having to go to hospital in the first place, you know. I had a little faith in it. But now, to be fair to them, the community members visited me very, very regularly when I was in the hospital.
Good.
And that really, you know, that really touched me, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. You have this dream, according to the article in the Examiner, you have this dream of opening a burrito bar. Or was that just, no, a notion you had at the time when all you could think about was food, something like that?
That was part of it, definitely, because I had a few people ask me, and they were like, sure, Cian, what happens if you can't sell the burritos, you know, if nobody's buying them? I go, for sure, that's why it's the perfect business plan. Sure, I'll just eat the burritos.
Do you know what? Your sense of humour would have got you through an awful lot more than you, a lot of people, to be fair to you. So you'll get into this place eventually once the electric is connected. Now, if you believe it, you know, the people of Kilbehenny have been really good to you, but straight away our phones are lighting up. Like, do you need anything? Like, here's the thing. We can always get a van and get it up to you. Someone will give us a... Like, you said tools. Have you tools?
For some strange reason, there's a pickaxe in the place for where the previous owner was digging up one of the rooms.
Right.
You'll
need more than a pickaxe, fella. Do you know?
Hi. You know, it's one of those things where I had a list of tools I might need on the phone, but it's one of those things where, you know, for years, all I had was a change of clothes and a sleeping bag on my back. So, it's, you know, I used to go to work, do my labour, no bother. But it's very hard to think, you know, now that I have somewhere to store it, you know, what I'd need to use and, even everything in a house, like, you know. I mean, I haven't been in long-term residence in years. So, I'm trying to think, like, I only realised, I'll need a freezer. It didn't even occur to my brain that, you know, for ages. Like, I was thinking, likes of, like, air fryer, you know, for cooking once they have power. I was thinking like a fridge and all that. Never thought of a freezer, but I thought of it now. You know, just store food.
Well, at least it's a work in progress. Hopefully, they do tell us, and history would show, that the weather does improve slightly in the months of May, June and July.
We should have a day or two where we'll be able to have a bit of dry weather.
Hopefully, and once you get the power in there. And how's that going for you? How's it going to get the power in?
See, the lack of address can be a pain in a way. Like, even though technically I own a property now, it's proven I own a property. Like, for one thing, I have to get a bank account, you know, in order to, you know, pay for things like that. And then, of course, to set up direct debit. And sure, getting a bank account when you're on the streets is ridiculously hard.
Yes.
You need the utility bills to prove your address.
Yes.
And they only accept certain ones. And
yes.
There's a good few steps that, you know, we're sort of going in circles on, but we're getting there, you know.
You're getting there. You've now got the building, you've got the food, and you've got the water. All you need now is to get them in one place, and that'll come.
The positive thing about it as well is that I think there's a local link only a few kilometres down the road that I'm sure hopefully I'll be able to use that in the mornings, you know, try to get a bit of work in, you know, Sligo town or so. And, you know, over time, since it's, you know, since it's my cottage, like, you know, so it can't be swept out from underneath me at any stage.
Stop one second now. How does it feel to say those words, my cottage? How does that feel?
I'm going to be straight up honest with you. There's some days that you'd be waking up now and, you know, seeing all the support I'm getting from people and, you know, the fact that I own a second cottage now, that I think I'm still on the mountain, and this is some mad hallucinogenic dream just before I die, you know? Some water-deprived fever dream, I don't know.
Well, it's not. It's real.
I know, yeah, it's nuts. Like, you know, I wasn't expecting this at all. it's class feeling. Like, it's unreal, like, you know?
Yeah. That's my gaff. You can stand outside and go, that's my gaff.
Oh, I was thinking to myself, you know, the Bull McCabe, I'll just be sitting there going, this is my field, this is my gaff, you know?
I love your sense of humour. I love talking to you. I really enjoyed it. We will keep in touch with you, fella. All right? And let's see how well you do. And when you get in there, we'd love to talk again. I'd just stay in touch with you, actually, and see how you get on. Would you be up for that?
Sure. Yeah, sure. You have my number now, anyway.
All right. Cian, the very, very best of luck. I know the whole of Cork is rooting for you. Cara just says here, Cian's story is highlighting just how poorly we support the most vulnerable and how we need to prioritise comprehensive, compassionate social policy. Well, you've got the three things you need, and you've got water, you've got food, and you've got a place to live. Now you just need to bring them all together in the one place. That's only a couple of weeks away. Cian, good luck to you, fella. Good luck.
Cheers, PJ, man. It was lovely chatting to you.
And to you, sir. And to you. 0818 96 96 96. If that's not one of the most uplifting conversations I've had in a long time, I don't know what is. I'm actually quite moved by that. That's amazing. That's incredible. Isn't he such a nice guy?
Cork's 96 FM.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.